You're listening to the IQVIA podcast, where we discuss ways to drive innovation in healthcare.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Consumer Health Edge, a three-part series where we will be discussing about information management and why it is imperative for companies to act swiftly and strategically in establishing a strong information management foundation. I am Vaishnavi Save, Global Product Manager for Technology Solutions at IQVIA Consumer Health. IQVIA Consumer Health supports the industry from concept to consumer. In our today's episode, we will be talking about strategies that require sound data foundation to position consumer health companies for sustainable success. And to discuss this, we have Raj. Hi, Raj.
Hey, hi, Vaishnavi. Hello, everybody. I'm a senior principal working on the EMEA tech side, helping clients like yours and everybody on the listening mode on a data-driven journey with the cloud ecosystem.
Welcome, Raj. Thanks. In today's fast-paced world, predictive analytics is a game changer. In simple terms, it tells you what to do next, but more than that, it enables precision in marketing efforts, optimizes resources allocation, and reduces costs for better ROI. It also helps in product development, managing risk and compliance, and so much more. So how is data and data processing important for predictive analytics, Raj?
Yeah, quite an interesting topic. There's a lot of buzzword about predictive analytics, GenAI. I think it's the right forum to discuss on this particular subject. I think absolutely, Vaishnavi, if you look at predictive analytics, empowers the commercial team to make data-driven decisions, predominantly to achieve the key business goal. With plethora of data available, it is becoming more important for the companies to be on the competitive edge to kind of drive their brand strategy, improve the brand penetration, and also to see the overall market share they want to kind of present. But underpinning all this is to better serve their customers. So I would say predictive analytics is definitely, in a fast-paced world, is a paramount for organization. I think reflecting back, to be honest, to enable this, the starting point is actually to have a clear business case with a value, okay? And to kind of define why. I think I'm a very big fan of Sinek, where he gets into the dwelling part of why we should do certain things. So very important to is have a business case with a factor of who we are trying to kind of solve the problem. With that point comes is what we are talking about in this today's session on information management. So for that business case, once the charter is defined, we have to kind of start the business case from the data lens, looking at what data we need from both internal and external point of view, build a strong data foundation, define the logical data transformation, enrich with the right data point, and create analytical data ready set. The reason I'm saying all this stuff is this is very important. When we talk about predictive analytics, the essence of that is a good quality data. And the good quality data comes from the right sources with a good foundation and with all the transformation in play. So once you have that foundation with the right transformation, then you can apply your predictive analytics to connect it to the business case. It can be any algorithm, right? I see people use from time series to regression tests to k-mean clustering. So you can look at your business case, what you're trying to solve, whom are you solving, and apply the right algorithm. In all this stuff, data plays a key role, and the quality of data is another important part. So that's why the information management, which some industry uses in data management, becomes the critical part of the entire journey. So on your point, Vaishnavi, which you said about data processing, is to get these things in the right order and in the right place, right? So in order for us to have a sustainable growth, because you may start with one business case, but the right foundation will enable your data products for other business cases. So it's kind of, with predictive analytics being a theme, you may have multiple data products helping a different customer group and the personas which you're trying to solve, okay? So in essence, I think in industry, what is happening is to lay the foundation. People have built cloud ecosystem with different data. They get data from internal, external sources, build it what they call as a bronze layer, then move it, enrich it, move it to call silver layer, and then make the data available into some gold standard and make it available for their use cases. So it's important to take the journey in the data processing from left to right, connecting the dots so that you can generate value. Once you establish all this stuff in a proper place, the scalability of your product becomes fast. Okay, and then you can spin up new data products looking at a different scenarios and different use cases, which I will talk a little bit more. But yeah, essentially, yes, Vaishnavi, you are on the right. Data processing and information management is the critical part for the predictive analytics or any use cases in an advanced analytics area.
Absolutely, Raj. Like, data quality and meticulous preparation of data is definitely the success, will derive the success of predictive analytics. Now, let's dwell a little deeper and see how these principles can apply specifically in sales and marketing domain. Can you give an example of how a company might leverage predictive analytics to enhance its sales and marketing strategies?
Oh, yeah, another interesting point. Look, honestly, most of the clients right now have started this data-driven journey. And I would say more than 70% of the clients have their own cloud ecosystem with clear approach, right? I think I'll try to give some example about how different groups, but particularly in the consumer industry, are shaping up this initiative, enabling overall customer 360 point of view from a different lens, okay? I think if to help the audience and the listeners, I think let me try to kind of formulate this in a very simple four groups. Again, this is my perspective of my experience working with some of the consumer industry. I think, look, if you look at it, the first group predominantly, okay, is a sales team catering to the healthcare professionals. And in the consumer world, it can be focused on the dental care or the pain reliefs, where you still have a sales rep driven approach to enable the force to kind of interact with these HCPs to kind of better serve their patients. Okay. So for this particular first group, understanding how we can serve them better becomes paramount. So here, one of the prime example of what organizations are doing is enabling next best action. Okay. They may start with a very basic, simple rule-based next best action, looking at the call pacing, the event reminders to the sales anomaly, to a more advanced machine learning-based model. Okay. So we can see adoption in the industry slowly moving from a rule-based engine to more of an advanced model. And some consumer world in this particular group, they have embarked with some in-house programs as well as looking at the other product. So shifting the gear to a second group, again, this is where the focus is more on the pharmacies. Okay. Now, if you look at now, what I'm trying to do is going from a group one to two, my customer is very important. That's why it's very important to understand who we are serving and why we are serving, which is what I related to in my previous discussion. Now, in the second group is purely focused on pharmacies. There may be a team or department within the consumer area focused on enabling the pharmacies with the right quantity of products, looking at what is the shelf life, looking at what is the order quantity, what pricing you can give. For this particular customer group, one of the use cases which I can think about coming to my mind is next best order. How can you enable your representative to kind of help the pharmacy with the right quantity of order, with the right pricing, and with the right discount? And the predictive analytics here actually plays a very important role for this second group of focus area. And moving to slightly, you may ask me, hey, Raj, what are those? So I could give categorizing a third group, which is particularly the marketing and analytical team. We have seen that most of the organization have a local presence, drive their brand penetration. But at a global and regional level, it is important to look at what is the brand performance across the OTC category, whether it's a pain relief or the skincare or VMC, vitamins, mineral supplements, or dental. In order to have this at a global and regional level, the important part of the program comes is data enrichment. How can you get the data across all these markets in a more meaningful way? This may be a sell-in, sell-out data. which could be enriched with the international data. And at a global and regional level, then they can analyze what's happening across the brand penetration, the performance of the brand across the at a regional level. Okay, so this is where you can apply some more advanced capability of predictive analytics in this third group of focus area. And the last but not least, you may have said, hey, Raj, where is the B2C customer? Yeah, of course, there is a group within the consumer area focusing on the e-commerce portal where typical consumers like you and me, either through retailers or their own portals, browse through the products, looks at what's OTC categories available. You may buy directly through your portal, or you can go to the e-pharmacy channel or through the retailers. For this, the important is to understand what content actually gives the right behavior to kind of drive the buying pattern, right? So you can create a global content and a localize it and try to kind of see how much time is being spent there. Or if you're trying to drive an email campaign, how effective the email campaign is with the click rate. So these are the four set of different groups, and that's my summary level to you how this whole industry is shaping up in driving this analytical use case. Hope it was more concise, as well as trying to give from a four lens viewpoint, Vaishnavi.
Yeah, absolutely, Raj. Thanks, Raj. Speaking of sales and marketing, personalization is a powerful tool and it has allowed teams to connect with customers better. It can drive revenue faster because it helps to foster long-term relationship. How can you see this insight and data-driven approach impact campaign effectiveness?
Oh, personalization. This is a topic which is resonating across the board. How many times, Vaishnavi, at your end, when you're doing some Google search on a particular flight or a particular product, how that information translates into other channels, whether it's Facebook, Instagram? I'm a bit surprised when I talk to my wife. If I do a search on something, this immediate personalized notification coming in my Facebook. So it's all interconnected world. That's what I was trying to tell you. And coming to personalizing on the campaign, okay, effectiveness, this is where the industry is trying to kind of look at when you looking at the customer behavior, looking at a top level social and digital affinities, as well as behavior, without going into the GDPR compliance issues, trying to group them at a top level, trying to personalize the content through an email campaign so that your click-through ratio is high. Okay, so for this, you can, there are industry-wide data providers who can give you a group segment if you're working for a B2C area, or if you're working at for HCPs, there's a lot of data which you can get and enrich from some of the data providers. It gives you the channel effectiveness. It gives you the digital affinity, whether they like email, they like what are the channels. Using all these different attributes of the customer at different layer. Again, remember, go back to my four dimensions or four lens of customer which I was talking about. Depending on which area you're working, you can try to kind of personalize the content, okay? And it's happening as we speak. It's not only happening at the Netflix of the world or the example which I gave you, the emails YouTube may receive from other providers, they are very focused on tailored to your needs. And I'm sure in the industry, when particularly anybody working on it, there are attributes which they capture at an individual customer level, okay? Or an anonymized group of attributes targeting a particular segment. It can be an age group, it can be a demographic group, or it can be based on the taste. So with this, all these parameters, you can make your campaign more effective by personalizing the content. Okay, hope that gives you a point. But again, at the end, what personalization is not one size fit strategy for all. It depends on your groups of the customer you're dealing with. And based on the group of the customer, you can tailor your personalized. So the strategy remains the same, but the way you can group the customers, tailor that message changes, right? That's a top level point of view, Vaishnavi.
Thanks, Raj, for sharing your valuable experience in this field. And thank you all for tuning in to the Consumer Health Edge podcast. If you need to know more, please get in touch with us at IQVIAConsumerHealth.com, or you can follow us on LinkedIn at IQVIAConsumerHealth. In our next episode, we will dive into consumer health organizations' How are they leveraging data and analytics to understand customer journey, sales, and distribution? Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the IQVIA podcast. Learn more about how we help our customers and partners accelerate innovation in healthcare at IQVIA.com.